Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. A Merry Christmas to each one of you tuning in on this very special day. I'm glad that we could share these few moments with one another as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible handy, please open it to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. That's Luke 2. I will be reading verses 1 through 7. My prayer is this old story will sound fresh to you as I read, because the Holy Spirit will make it so. Really hear the word of God to you, and then we will focus on just one of these verses. Have you found your place at Luke 2, verses 1 through 7? Well, this is God's inspired and holy word. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When I read that, I am struck by how simple the language is. Luke writes simply, verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, that is how the gospel writer describes the birth of the Son of the living God. It is so matter-of-fact, succinct, put so plainly, even the words are simple words, describing the single greatest birth ever and forever. And this is how Luke tells it? Wow, I would have thought he would have used more extravagant language, but he does not. And it is not only the simplicity of the language, but also the reality of the setting that I find fascinating. As verse 6 tells us, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. There is Bethlehem. We are not even told how long Mary and Joseph have been in Bethlehem, only that while they were there, Mary was ready to give birth. And then verse 7 begins, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. Alone, except for Joseph, young and far from home, carrying this baby in her womb for months, and now here, this is the time for this promised child to come bursting forth from her? Yes, and all of this without the fanfare of heaven. At this most important moment in the history of the whole world, and the voice of God does not speak from above, angels do not appear, and there are no bright lights with trumpets sounding? No one sings the Hallelujah chorus? No, just that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. That is, however, an important slice of biblical truth right there. Friends, Jesus was Mary's first son, but not her only son. After Joseph and Mary were married, and after the birth of Jesus, the couple went on to have other children. They were Jesus' half-brothers and half-sisters. Same mother, Mary, but different fathers. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, whereas the others were conceived by Joseph. Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter and verse 46 says, while Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, behold, Jesus' mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. I mention this, especially for Roman Catholic friends listening, because your church teaches that Mary was a perpetual virgin. The only child she ever had was Jesus. But that is a denial and distortion of what the Bible actually says. So that even in the simplicity of what we are reading today, there is sound doctrine and teaching. Well, Luke 2, verse 7 continues, Mary wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. Please notice that Mary herself did this. This speaks to the reality of this setting. The new mother had no nurse, or her own mother, or her sister, or even a friend to do this for her. No. After giving birth, she herself wrapped Jesus in cloths and laid him in the manger. Cloths were long strips of fabric used to wrap and bundle the baby for warmth and security. Simple fabric, and certainly not royal robes for Jesus, who is our King. The Son of the Living God is bundled by his mother in ordinary cloth and then laid in a manger? Yes. And the manger is what has led to the common idea that Jesus was born in a stable, but the Bible does not say that. This Greek word for manger is the word used to describe an animal's feeding trough. And so we might think a feeding trough would only be found in a stable, but these were located wherever animals were kept. Justin Martyr, the early Christian theologian, states that Jesus was born in a cave. That could be true since sometimes animals and their keepers took shelter in caves. Wherever the Lord was born, he was laid in a manger. This speaks directly to the conditions into which Jesus came. He and his family were poor, not rich. Jesus was born in obscurity, not in popularity. And he and his family were rejected from the beginning, not accepted. This, as the rest of verse 7 tells us, quote, because there was no room for them in the inn. When we think of an inn, we tend to think of a small hotel or a guest house or maybe a bed and breakfast. But the Greek word used here by Luke for inn is not the usual word used for such a place, but rather the word used more generally for a shelter or lodging. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 11, this word is used to describe a guest room. Perhaps Joseph was late in booking a guest room or was tarding in arriving, and the guest room went to someone else. The overcrowding of Bethlehem due to all the travelers who arrived there because of the census, this forced the mother and earthly father of Jesus into an unnamed location where Jesus was then born. Christ is born among animals, into dirty, stinky, noisy, and cold conditions comes literally the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the Messiah. Aren't you struck by this? How is it even possible that the second person of the triune God is born into this? This should awaken our spirits today and every day to the reality of how humble Jesus Christ is, and how much God loves us that he would send his Son into the world and do so like this. I am thinking of Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, although he existed in the form of God, Christ did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. The Lord's full humility always on full display, as it is at his birth. This man Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve, Matthew 20. This homeless man Jesus, who had no place to lay his head, Luke 9. This man Jesus, who literally made the world, but the world did not know him, John 1. This is Christ our Savior, who later gave his life for us, and this was the reality of the setting of his entrance into this world, Luke chapter 2. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, let those words sink in with you and me at this hour, and let us praise and worship with genuine thankfulness in our hearts God this Christmas. May the Holy Spirit draw us to contemplate afresh and anew the simple yet profound birth narrative. Wherever in the world you are, dear friend, think of what God has done for us and in us through the life of Jesus Christ. The wonder of the Bible is that there is always something new and stimulating we can take from every text, even passages we think we know so well. I do not know what Christmas Day is like for you, but in whatever circumstances you find yourself, look heavenward and remember our Lord and our God. Be assured of my prayers for you, for your family and your friends. Thanks for spending this time with me and all these other listeners. I love it when Christmas Day falls on a weekday so we can be together, as is the case this year. I hope you will take this passage, Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, with you throughout the remainder of this day and night, meditating upon what the Bible says. Perhaps you will share this with someone you meet, someone who needs to know about Christ on his birthday. And since this time of year is a bit slower for many of you, I want to take this opportunity to remind you of the Free God Is podcast. All of the radio broadcasts double as podcasts, and we have this entire archive available to you on our website, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Invite others to listen with you. Send them a link to our site, encouraging them to tune in. And right on the homepage, you'll find the podcast listed by series. Explore godisministry.org. Merry Christmas, everyone, and join us next time, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.